You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. I got only 60 seconds for an opening today because we're trying to hear the tail end of a 50-minute sermon from Sunday. It's the doctrine of Christ. We're coming out of 2 John today. John warns us, whoever transgresses and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So I think we're picking it up in the middle of this list of things that constitute the doctrine of Christ. What is it? Things like he was born of a virgin, things like he lived a sinless life. I think we left off with point number 3, that he's the Son of God. I think that's where we're going to pick it up here today, and we're going to hear that one and the other 4 that follows, and we're going to look at the consequences for not believing in any one of these 7. Okay, here we go. This is part 2 of this message, the doctrine of Christ.
Matthew 16:13, the Lord Jesus asked the apostle Peter one day, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. That means you're not going to believe Jesus is the Son of God because I'm telling you. You're going to believe he's the Son of God because God himself has given that to you. Why is this non-negotiable? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Demons know it. The Holy Spirit declares it. Angels announce it. Anything less is demonic. He's not the son of another. He's the Son of God. Therefore, he is God. Thomas said to him, John 20:28, he said, my Lord and my God. And you have to know it and believe it like Peter did. Again, because that knowledge comes from above. If you don't believe it, then you're not a Christian because you haven't received this knowledge. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, you're not a Christian. Right? Jesus is the Son of God. I encourage you, get your theology from this book only. This is why I love it. I meditate on it. I follow it. I believe it. I collect it. I sniff it. I obey it. I teach it. I live it. And I breathe it. It's my life. It's the Word of God. Number 5, Jesus Christ died on the cross. I don't care what Jehovah's Witnesses call it. I don't care if it had a cross beam or it doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is that Jesus died on it, not what it looked like. They're all hung up about what the cross looked like. Big deal if it didn't have a cross beam on the thing. Look, the Bible says this. That's Galatians 3:13. I know I got it written down here somewhere. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You just got to remember, Jesus died on it, shed his blood on it, and that by his dying, you and I can receive eternal, everlasting life. That's what matters, not what it looks like. That doesn't matter. Certainly non-negotiable. He said on the cross, he said, it is finished. The Greek word telestai means paid in full. They used to stamp that on a mortgage note. Once it got paid off, they had a Greek stamp. They stamped it and it said, telestai. which meant paid in full. That's what the last words Jesus said on the cross. Tetelestai. Meaning we're done here. He died on the cross. He was not out of breath like some churches teach. They say, no, he didn't die. They say he was out of breath. Some churches say he was out of breath and he married Mary Magdalene and he moved to England. You ever heard that yarn before? This is why God made this. I can't tell you how many televisions I've broken. Ask my wife. We just don't watch the television anymore when it comes to that, because I end up crowning the thing every time I hear this. You know, there's a show on there, Searching for Jesus' Bones. You know? Right, wife. Good luck with that one. You're not going to find his bones because he's risen. He's not in a grave. If he's in a bone, in a grave, then all you believe is worthless. Paul said, let us eat and drink. Pass me the bottle of Schlitz malt liquor. It doesn't matter if he's still in the grave. It doesn't matter what you do or matter how you live. And the worst news is you're still living in your sins. And I hope, pray tell, you make it past the end of the parking lot on the way out. And no one steps on a crack and breaks your mother's back. You want to be superstitious? No, right. Number 6, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now, if I'm going too fast, he was born of a virgin, number 1. He lived a sinless life, that's number 2. These aren't a stretch, right? God took a body, that is, Jesus, it was God in the flesh. That's another verse, too. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, existing in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took the form of a doulos. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that that man in the glory is Lord. Do you believe that? Number 6, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Let's turn there. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, right after the book of Acts, first 4 Gospels, then Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is number 6 on our list. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or one translation says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has, look what it says next, raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. But don't miss what he's saying here. Deny the supernatural of the Bible and in the Bible, and you will not gain entry. This was a prerequisite. He says, if you confess the word homo legeo, speak the same, agree with God. God says, this is my son, right? Utos estin ho wheels moo. This is my beloved son. Listen to him, he says. Then he says this, for where the heart one believes unto, whoop, down goes the gavel. There's that word righteous again. Right? With the heart one believes. Says, I believe Jesus is the Lord. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's part of the Apostles' Creed too. If you guys remember that. I believe in the resurrection. Christian, You need to believe in the resurrection in order to be saved. Look again at Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Listen to these words from the Lord, John chapter 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says, and I ask you the same thing on this 9th of August. He says, do you believe this? I am the resurrection. That means he's in charge of it. It all goes through him. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. These are the doctrines of Christ. We ought to be professionals by now and know these by heart. It's a lot of new people here since the last time I preached this. So, and naturally, you'll never be deceived when someone tells you that Jesus was not born of a virgin. Now, some Bible translations don't have that either. Some of these liberal, watered-down, modern Bible translations, they've changed the word virgin and changed it to young woman. All right, there's 20 or 30 women in here. How many young women in this church have ever given birth? Ding, 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 ding. How many virgins do you think have given birth? Only one that I know of. There's only one that I don't know. It's the same thing. It's only one. When you hear lies like this, you will know what to do. What you do is you sock them with this, all right? Sock them with my gavel. You know, that reminds me of this old hero of the faith. His name was Nicholas. It's where the saying Saint Nicholas came from. Saint Nick, the story of Santa Claus, Saint Nick. Nicholas, you see, this dude used to deck heretics. Because he hated him. This is the legend of Santa Claus's Saint Nicholas. You know, I think his last name probably was Maldonado. Can you see that? Nicky Maldonado from Bayonne. Can you see it? This is the legend of Santa Claus. He's out here. It's Nicky Maldonado from Bayonne, New Jersey. Don't mess with this guy. See, this is probably where that song came from, you know. Up with a right cross from old Saint Nick. Down to the ground goes the heretic. Ho, 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 who didn't know? Ho, 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 who didn't know? Up with a right cross from old Saint Nick. Down to the ground goes the heretic. Who knows? Maybe that's how that song came about. But I'll tell you what, Saint Nicholas was a hero of the Christian faith, and he was known as Nicholas the Pugilist. If you don't know what pugilist means, look the word up. Right? Got to flick the nose when you do that. We've got one more on our list. Number 7. Jesus Christ is the only access to God and to heaven. 3 scripture verses to prove that. The first one, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Then he said this, no man comes to the Father except by me or through me. The Apostle Paul wrote, Romans chapter 5, verse 2, he says, through him we also have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Our access is through one person only, and that's Jesus, the Son of God. Third verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The Apostle Peter, he said, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. He is the only access to get to heaven. It's the Son of God. All right, so question. Can you take one of these and say that you're in right standing with God if you don't believe it? So let's go through all seven of these in rapid fire. Let's see where we end up, okay? Point number one. You don't believe in the virgin birth. Can you be saved? If Christ is all that you think that he is, then you certainly can't. Because if you're right, then you're wrong. And you're stuck with a sinning Savior. Good luck with that. Don't believe Christ lived a sinless life. Can you be saved? Well, if you're right, you certainly can't. Then I gotta, why not just believe the truth? Why not just believe the truth of the Word of God? The Bible says he's without sin. Where do you stand on that? Where do you stand? Otherwise, his sacrifice was worthless and his blood was tainted, and it's no better than yours or mine. It's precious to God, but it can't redeem anybody and be an acceptable sacrifice in the eyes of God. A sinner can't save you. Only someone without sin is able to save you. Don't believe the Messiah came in the flesh. Can you be saved? How could you? The Apostle John says you've been infected with the spirit of Antichrist. That's not an enviable position this morning. Don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Can you be saved? No. Faith is a gift from God. Just ask Peter. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Even demons believe, the Bible says. And you don't? That makes you lower than demons in the belief business. Another not a very enviable position to be. Jesus told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Reveal what? That you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Don't believe Jesus died on the cross. Can you be saved? This is the verse I was grasping for earlier. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become or being made a curse for us. There's the second thing we read today that he was made. He was made to be sin, and now it says he was made to be a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. You must believe that Jesus Christ died and that he was not out of breath and that he didn't pass out or something, but he died. That's the important thing here, not what the cross looked like. Don't believe Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Can you be saved? This doctrine is the foundation for the entire Christian faith, that after we die, we have hope. We have hope there's more to this evil world than living and dying. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you don't have God. You've missed the point of the entire Christian faith. Deny the supernatural and end up in hellfire. Don't believe Jesus Christ is the only access to God and to heaven. Can you be saved? Let me put it this way. If you believe like Oprah and all of the others that there is another way to heaven, and if you're right, then God is wrong. And God overlooked the fact that there was another way to heaven, but he failed to realize it. And to that, I tip my cap to you. That is, you figured out a way that God didn't. Imagine that. You could see it, but God couldn't. Is that where you stand today? Did you outwit the Creator? God says his Son is the only way. But Oprah Winfrey gets on the TV and says, no, there's lots of ways. I have to ask you today, who are you going to believe? Who do you believe? Do you really believe that God made a mistake and Jesus didn't have to die? I mean, imagine that. letting his son die a death like that when he didn't have to, because Aunt Edna figured out a way other than the cross. That's a tough one to believe that. Friend, we part company there if that's where you believe. This is where everyone else in the universe is wrong and God is right. Blood is required to pay for your sin, no matter who you are. Amen to that? Let's actually assume here that John means what he said. As we press on to the 10th verse here in this 2 John, this verse is also on your handout. Unfortunately, to my shame, I've probably have watered this down the last 10 years, and I'm not going to water it down today. We're going to assume that God means what he says, okay? I'm not going to soften the blow to this to make everyone feel better. So here it is. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, then do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So don't let him in, and don't say hi to them. But why? Why would he say that? Answer? Because John, who's writing this, is concerned for your soul. And this is pastoral care. He doesn't want you to catch what these people have. I mean, imagine that. Look at all the things that people do to protect themselves, right? I mean, I remember during COVID a couple years ago, someone pulled up in a car next to me. The person had a mask on, and then they had a shield on, and they had their windows up, and they were driving all alone. What kind of wacko does that? But yet you got someone that wants to come to your house that doesn't believe that the Messiah has come in the flesh. Now, John's just told you that that person has been infected with the spirit of Antichrist. So the old face shield lady isn't all that funny anymore. You know, we say to ourselves, well, that's just not very Christian-like. Not to let someone like that into your house, right? I just want you to see the dangers of that. John's looking out for your soul, that's all. Jesus said, don't let anyone steal your crown. He's just watching out for you when he says that. All right, how about this? You've invited your atheist boss over to your house for dinner or for some kind of party. So here comes your atheist boss. What do? You hurry, you pick up your Bibles and your devotionals, your Christian books. You better stash them somewhere, right? We can't have your boss seeing these things, right? I mean, he's my boss. We can't offend my boss, right? Boss is coming. Funny, you know, some people, now, of course, this would never happen here, but some people, if a pastor goes to their house, they stash their beer and their cigarettes. But the weak caribou Christian hides this and stashes his Bible because he fears what other people might say about him. That is what he's trying to watch out for, that you don't let that happen to you. That's all. That's why he warns you not to let certain people into your house. It's pastoral care. He who says hi to him, he says, shares in his evil deeds. So my pastoral care to you is, don't let these people into your house because they have a virus and it's catching if you're not careful. Now, I know this is a hard saying here. I wrote down a couple things. And really, it comes down to, believing the word of God. I mean, the number one place where people's faith gets destroyed is in school. Arthur and Jace here are going, they're 16 years old, and they're in high school. When you leave here and when you go to college, I guarantee you, you are going to run into people like this in college. They're going to say to you, oh, you don't believe that muck, do you? You don't believe that. You don't believe. And your professor knows more than you, right? They got more degrees than Kellogg's has cornflakes. They're all smart, and they'll say to you, well, you know, we know now in today's world that the Bible is not true. We know that stuff's not true. And they intimidate you. You see, this is why you got to beware of these people. They're infected with a spirit. John doesn't want you to have it. So I made a list, really. The answer is know the Word of God. This always is the answer. We looked at a whole bunch of things here today. What we believe about Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. They gambled for his clothes. Those things were written down 1,000 years before it happened. The odds of one person doing all three of those is like you getting in a Ford Pinto and driving to Mars in reverse. Is the odds of one person, you can read this in the More Than a Carpenter, Josh McDowell, the odds of one person fulfilling four things written about him before they happen. Be armed with the truth when they confront you with this kind of stuff. Demons bow the knee to him. He was seen by over 500 people alive after he had died. He walked on water. He stopped a hurricane with a word. He changed water into wine. He spoke a dead man out of the tomb. Believe the word of God. That's my encouragement to you today. Stand on the word of God. Don't let anyone steal your crown. We'll let the Lord Jesus have the last word today. He said, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth sets us free. We thank you. Thank you for opening up our eyes to the evil people that try to sway us from the truth. And the evidence and proof is in your word, and we thank you for it. Help us to always remember, Lord, we pray your word back to you. You promised that you would give us the recollection of these things when we need them to help us to be firm, stand tall in the faith. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We believe everything that's written in our Bibles concerning him. This is all we have, really, is our faith, and that's enough. We're standing on the promises of God, and we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It comes from 1 Timothy 3, which outlines the qualifications for pastors and elders. One of those qualifications is this: the man must be the husband of one wife. Now, John, a listener wants to know if that statement disqualifies single people from being pastors or elders.
Well, you can't go so far, Denny, as to say that that is a disqualification. I don't think that's the intent there, because the Apostle Paul doesn't appear to have had a wife during most of his ministry. He probably did at one time. Perhaps he was a widower. We assume that because to have reached the status he did in the Jewish world, you had to be married. He did say that a man has a right to lead about a wife in ministry, but that's a right and not a necessity. What it does mean when it says the husband of one wife is that the man who is married must be singularly, fully, and completely faithful to and devoted to the woman who is his wife. This is not so much about marital status, because that wouldn't be a qualification to be an elder, because lots of people are married. This is about marital fidelity. This is about morality. This is about not only the devotion that keeps you from adultery, But the devotion